I hear only the buzzing of flies feasting on the human corpse. I feel Cave's hand pull at me, and my feet automatically move in her direction. With my hand in hers, we catch up with the rest of the family and begin our sixth day of marching. On our walk, the soldiers are everywhere, prodding us along. They point and give us directions with their guns and bullhorns. In the scorching April heat, many older people become ill from heatstroke and dehydration, but they dare not rest. When someone falls ill, the family throws out his belongings, puts the sick person on someone's back or a wagon, if the family is lucky enough to have one, and march on. We walk all through the morning and afternoon, stopping for food and to rest only when the sun goes down. All around us, other families also have stopped to rest for the night. Some stagger into the field, picking up firewood to cook their meals. Others eat what they cooked earlier and fall asleep as soon as they lie down. We walk around the curled-up bodies to find an empty area of our own. Exhausted, Ma and Cave struggle to set up our resting spot and start a fire. From one of the plastic bags we carry our remaining belongings in, Cave takes out a bedsheet and spreads it on the ground. Ma unrolls the straw mat and lines it up next to the bedsheets, while I sit with Gek on small bundles, rubbing my burned and aching ankles. Chu and Keem move our other bags onto the bedsheet. Holding her hand, I attempt to lead Gek to sit on the sheets, but she pulls out of my hand and toddles over to Pa. He picks her up and holds her to his chest. Her face, brown and blistered from the sun, rests at the nape of his neck as his body swivels left and right. Before long, she is asleep. Our food supply is reduced to only a few pounds of rice, so Meng, Khoi, and Keem have to forage for other food to supplement the rice. They walk half a mile to the nearby town of Ong Snur and return an hour later. Their figures move toward us slowly. Keem carries an armful of dry wood, and in Meng's hand is a small branch piercing two small fish and some wild vegetables. Khoi walks toward us with a small pot and an ecstatic grin on his face. "Ma, look!" he calls to her, barely able to contain his glee. "Sugar!" "Brown sugar!" Ma exclaims, taking the pot away from him. Though I am tired, these two words bring me running in the direction of the pot. "Brown sugar!" I repeat quietly. I never knew how two little words could bring me so much happiness. "Ma, let me have a taste! There's almost a quarter of a pot of it!"